As mentioned, our scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. The gospel reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" We now turn the services over to our brother Dylan.
Good morning. Have you ever wanted to commit to something completely? Ever wanted to commit to something to where you stuck with it and you finished it out the way that you planned to? I'm sure you did that with your education. Many of you have great careers and great jobs. But when it comes to committing to Christ, denying ourselves, are you still committed the way that you were whenever you went down into the water and came up as a Christian? If you haven't committed to Christ in terms of your life, be baptized, be washed away with your sins gone forever, do you want to? Because the real question for you today is, are you willing to surrender? And I don't mean in the sense of the white flag and waving the white flag so that countries can come together and have terms of armistice and go about how it's going to work out after the war is over. I'm talking about completely committing your life to Christ today, tomorrow, until you take your last breath. Have you ever wanted to fully commit to God, but you just can't follow through? That's the question we need to answer today, because Christ is very clear in our scripture that we just read. If anyone wishes to come after me, what do we have to do? He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, we're not saying in the sense that you have to be like Paul and you have to go to Rome and you have to be imprisoned and you have to die a martyr for the cross, to surrender your life to Him and to deny yourself and live a life committed to Him. But what God is asking of you is to surrender your will to Him, to submit to the way that He asks for you to live your life for Him. So let's start by talking about how we're going to do that. Our message is very clear today. We need to define what the word surrender means. Number two, we need to provide biblical application to how we do surrender, how we do deny ourselves and continue to commit to a life of that. And finally, put this into practice. Let's start by defining surrender. What does it mean to surrender? Well, by definition, Webster's dictionary defines it as to agree to stop fighting, hiding, or resisting. To give control or use of something to someone else, to allow something to influence or control you. Think very hard about your life as a Christian. Think very hard about how you resist God's will, how you hide from Him. Maybe like Jonah, you want to run away from the situation. You want to run away from the problem that's staring you straight in the face. Are you willing to surrender your will to Him? Because that's what He asks of us today, that's what He asks of us tomorrow, that's what He asks of us every day of our lives. That doesn't mean you get to live the life that might be enjoyed by others. That doesn't mean that you don't get to have nice things. It doesn't mean that you don't get to live a life that you enjoy. But what it does mean, brethren, is that we stop resisting God's will in our lives. Because if we do, we're not living the life that God asks of us. We are not denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Him. I ask you a very simple question. Do you want to be committed to God, but you just can't follow through? I would tell you, you need to start by looking at the person that stares at you in the mirror. You want to know how to fix the problem? You want to know how to no longer be committed? It starts with looking yourself in the mirror and being honest with yourself. Do I surrender my will and my wants and my desires? James 1 and 22 through 24 is very clear. It says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, Otherwise, you are deceiving yourselves. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after observing himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You look at yourself every day, likely in the mirror, when you get yourself cleaned up, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, hopefully, and then you leave and go on out the door. When you look yourself in the mirror, do you like the person that you see? Because you know your heart, you know the way that you look. Do you like the person that you see? Maybe you do. Do you like the Christian that you see in the mirror? Because when it comes to surrendering to God's will, we don't care about the person that we see in the mirror. We care about God and how people will see Him through that person that you see in the mirror. Stop resisting. Stop hiding from who God wants you to be. And be that person. Because if you don't, if you look yourself in the mirror, like this passage here in James is very clear, you look yourself in the mirror and after observing himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Maybe you come to worship every Sunday. Maybe you come twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday and you go to every Bible class possible. You read your Bible every night, but you look yourself in the mirror and you know that the person that you want to be, that God needs you to be, is not the person that you're looking at in the mirror. When it comes to understanding how to surrender to God, we have to first understand that it starts with denying ourselves. What does that mean? What does it mean to deny yourself? It means to humbly submit my will to God. You want to be committed to God? Start by giving yourself freely to Him and His will. And that's hard to do because that means that everything that I am, everything that I think, everything that I say, every essence of who I am has to be different than I was before I became a Christian. But I assure you and I tell you today that those that surrender to the will of God in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament, their lives were made better eternal because of it. They didn't have great lives in terms of maybe they were oppressed and they were persecuted, but I assure you, your hope eternal is secure in the one that you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. To love and to trust Him in His presence, my friends, we must daily live our lives. Ephesians 5 and 1 through 2 says, if you want to deny yourself, what do you do? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You want to live for Christ? You want to live for God? You want to be the way that you should be? Imitate His Son. Imitate the way that He lived. That's how we live for God. We also do it in understanding that when we deny ourselves, we're no longer prideful in the way that we think about who we are. When you look at yourself in that mirror, you humbly say, I am a servant of God, I follow Him, and I live for Him. It starts with expressing your humility in action. It starts with being and living that life that God asks of you in a humble way. Not thinking about yourself first, but thinking about God and thinking about others before you consider yourself. We should humbly leave our desires of this world behind and forsake them for something greater than this world alone can offer. Philippians 2 and 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He had every right to be proud of who he was. He had every right to call 10,000 angels to save his life. He had every right to not leave glory and come and save our wretched souls. But you know what he did? He came and he lived a perfect life. He nailed that law and those sins to that cross. He was buried and resurrected for no one that deserved it. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve His love. But you know what? He loves us more than we could ever imagine. And He gives us that freely through His Son. So the question is, when it comes to understanding surrendering, you don't want to lower your pride? The Son of God was willing to lay all of that glory behind to save you. So when you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, I really know I can be better, and then you run into a situation where you can and you don't. Always, always think, how would Christ handle this situation? Can I be more humble in the way that I'm acting, in the way that I'm living? You're not going to be perfect. Don't try to be perfect. We are an imperfect people made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. Stop trying to be perfect, but live the life that He asks of you and do it in a way that is humble, because He offered Himself as a perfect sacrifice in all humility as the servant that He was for us, that we might have a hope with Him in heaven. We need to be filled with His power and His love. You want to fill your mind, you want to fill your heart with the right things in this life, fill it with what the Spirit speaks to you through the Scriptures. Not what man tells you, not what colleges tell you, not what ideologies tell you, in the way that you should live for God, but the way that God tells you that you should live for Him. Filled with His power and filled with His love. A scripture that's often quoted in marriage ceremonies is one that's far more powerful than just the union of two people coming together. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 through 8, in the very first portion of 8, says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails." You want to live for God? You want to live the way that He asks you to? Live with His love through you for others and for Him. You want to live the way that God asks you to and surrender your will to Him? Understand what the love of God really means. That it means to be patient. That it means to be self-controlled in your anger and the way that you live your life. That when that person cuts you off on the way here or on the way to lunch, that you let it go. That the people that you've held a grudge against for years, you've got to let that go. You've got to forgive them for their wrong. I'm not saying that you tolerate evil, because it says we don't tolerate evil. But what I'm asking you to do is live with the love of God. Because if you surrender your will to Him, that's how Christ was. He was spat upon, He was beaten, He was cursed at, and He was drugged to the point of almost death, and then had to carry His cross all the way to Calvary and have help with it on along the way because He physically couldn't do it, and then was nailed to that cross for you. And not just for you, for the person sitting beside you, for the person that cut you off, for the person that wronged you, for the people that are going to treat you poorly, every single person in this world He died for. So love them the way that He loves them. I'm not saying tolerate evil. I'm not saying put up with things that are not right in this world. But what I am saying is that love is patient, kind. It's not envious. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor people. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It forgives people and has no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil but rejoices in truth. It protects what is righteous and right. And the love of God, it trusts, it hopes, and it perseveres or it preserves. And it never fails. I added preserves. That's not in the scripture there. We preserve the hope and the faith and love of Christ Jesus, that there is a hope eternal, brethren. You want to live for God? You want to have that power? Love people more than they love you. You know why? Because Christ loved you more than you could ever imagine loving someone. They say that the love of a mother is in comparison in no way. Because they carry that child for 9 months or maybe less than that. They nurture it. The love of the mother is incomparable in so many ways. The love of the father for a child. God sent His Son to die for us. His Son to die for us that we might live. That kind of love. Is God patient with you? Is He kind to you? Is He merciful? Is He prideful in the way that He asks us to live? No. Take a step further and look in a few more verses in that chapter. Verse 13, what does it say? In comparison to faith, your faith as a Christian, In comparison to hope, your hope as a Christian, what is the most powerful? What never fails? Love is the greatest of those three. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13 says, And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Brethren, if you don't know how to love, if we don't love in the way that we should, then we're missing everything. We're missing everything as Christians. Notice the power as well of the joy of salvation. Surrendering to God's will and obeying Him gives you access to the Father. In terms of living the life and obeying Him and the steps that He asks you to take for salvation, the joy of that. Because apart from sin, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus apart from sin. Romans 8 and 38 through 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing spiritual, nothing physical can separate you from God except for your sin. That's pretty powerful, is it not? The joy of the salvation that you have bought with by the blood of Jesus Christ and buried and resurrected with Him, nothing but your sin separates you from God. If you were a Christian, or if you're not a Christian, nothing will separate you from His love. No wrongs that you've committed, no evils that you have had in your life will separate you from Him except for your sin that is washed away and bought with His blood and His love for you. Nothing. No angel, no demon, nothing. Can anything else in this world stake that claim? Can anything in the other realm, the spiritual realm, stake that claim? Nothing. So, brethren, you want to surrender your will to something, surrender your will to God, not that face that looks at you in the mirror, not man, but God. The joy of salvation as we're surrendering is having been buried with Him in baptism, which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. That's Colossians 2 and 12. And Galatians 3 and 27 says that you want to worry about being clothed spiritually. You want to worry about having something that holds you and envelops you and protects you. Galatians 3 and 27 says, "For all of you, not some of you, all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." That great banquet, that eternal life, that home that we hope in heaven, you don't want to show up unprepared and unclothed properly. We are clothed in Christ when we're baptized into Him to wash away our sins. And we can show up to that great banquet. We can show up to that great time eternal and have access to the Father as we already do in Him and His Son. You are free and you are committed. You were committed once before as a Christian to live for Him. If you're not a Christian, why would you not want to commit your life to Him? The question is simple. Do you want to stay committed to Him? And then more importantly, do you want to stay committed to surrendering your will to Him? Because it's a daily process. It's not just once and for all, like the Three Musketeers were. It's daily that we're working on our lives. It's daily that we're working to love Him and show our love for Him. And that means being committed to Him. It means remembering why you committed in the first place. John 8 and 12 says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Remember why you committed if you are a Christian. And if you're not, why you would want to. Do you want to continue to walk in darkness, or do you want to walk in the light? Stop and think about why you aren't committed in certain areas of your life, such as your prayer life, the way that you study your Bible, the way that you live your life, every aspect of your life as a Christian. Stop and think for a moment why you're no longer committed to Him. Why you're no longer, more importantly, surrendering your will to Him. And eliminate those things from your life. Sometimes life is like a buffet. You fill your plate so much, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Clean your plate off. Throw it away if you have to. And start over. If something's affecting your prayer life, if something is affecting the way that you study your Bible, if something's affecting you from worshiping God, clean your plate off and start over. And fill it with the things that are important in life. starting with God and your life with Him. And stay committed to those things. Stay committed to the things that make you better. You need to expect to be challenged. James 1 and 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brother, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." If you're a Christian, don't expect that this life is going to be pixies and happiness, and everything's going to be great, and everything's going to just be like Neverland, and we're just going to play and be like children for the rest of our lives. It's not. We have to make big adult decisions. We have to go through life and go through really tough times. And as Christians, you're going to be persecuted. People aren't going to like you for the way that you live. But that's okay, because count it all joy, brethren, if you live the life that you're supposed to for God. Be realistic about your goals that you set for yourself. You ever set a goal for yourself that you knew in the beginning probably wasn't realistic, and then you were really surprised whenever you didn't reach the goal that you want, that you set to attain? Brethren, stop being unreal about your expectations for yourself. You know yourself better than anybody else in this world except for God. Stop being unrealistic with yourself about needing to be perfect. Stop being unrealistic with yourself about thinking that you have to be perfect in this life to please Him. If we were perfect, or we had the ability to attain perfection, why did God send His Son to die for us and live a perfect life? He sent His Son to die for us, an imperfect people, that we might be made perfect through the blood of His Son, who was buried and resurrected for our sins, to be gone from us. Stop being unrealistic with yourself. Because when you do that, you are eliminating God, you're eliminating His grace and His love for you. That's right, I said grace. Stop thinking that you can't live a life for God and be imperfect and can't make mistakes and can't fall. Because you know who's waiting to pick you back up when you do? Christ is reaching His hand out saying, "It's okay. It's okay. Make it right." Stop being unrealistic with yourself about your challenges that you set before yourself. And finally, and this is a problem in our society today, take responsibility for yourself. You have to take responsibility for yourself and your actions. If you don't, then you are immature as a Christian. If you don't, you're immature as a person. If you don't take responsibility for your actions, if you make a mistake, own up to it. If you make a mistake, apologize for it. Take responsibility for yourself. If you lead your household, take responsibility for your family. If you're leading this congregation, take responsibility for your actions and the way that you live your life. All of us need to take responsibility. Why? Because if we don't, do you expect that someone else is going to do it for you? No one's going to do it for you. No one's going to stand at judgment before God and say, "He's cool. Everything's all right." Except for Christ. And He's going to say one of two things. He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. I don't know you." Or, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." One of two things are going to happen. But no one is going to stand before the Father except for Jesus Christ. So whose side do you want to be on? Who do you want to follow? Who do you want to surrender your will to? Take responsibility for your life. John 5 and 1 through 8, I'll leave that for you to read. But one thing that He says to this man who's waiting for someone to basically pick him up and take him out into the pool or to kind of help him along, Christ says in some translations, "Get up! Get up and fix your life." He says, "Get up and walk, man. Get up and walk." And my same conclusion today would be for you. You want to surrender your will? Get up off the mat, pick yourself up, and go live the life that God meant for you to live. Go live the life that you're capable of living. Stop thinking and wallowing in your sins. Stop thinking that God doesn't love you because of the past problems that you've had in your life. Forget that. Christ loves you for who you are. Make it right with Him. If you're a Christian, make your life right with Him. If you're not, be buried and resurrected with Him, that your sins might be buried and gone forever. And that you can live a life knowing the joy of salvation and being committed to the Almighty. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And the invitation is simple, that Christ offers to you today. If you're not a Christian, be baptized and have your sins washed away in Him, to be clothed in Him in Christ, as we read in Galatians 3 and 27. And if you are a Christian, pick yourself up off the mat and quit thinking that you have to be perfect. Quit setting unrealistic goals for yourself. Take responsibility for yourself, your family, and your life, and live the life that God meant for you to live. If we can do anything for you today, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.